how are you handling this with the team? What's your message to them?
Message, let's beat DePaul.
Simple as that, huh?
Pretty much.
Can we anticipate any lineup changes?
Well, probably, because Kyle Keurig, right coming out of warm-up, sprained his ankle and won't play in his game. So it's a definite lineup change.
What does that do for you guys? Because Kyle plays 38, 39 minutes a game.
Well, it hurts us.
Who's going to start in this play?
I don't know.
May we see, you had talked before about Kevin Ware as possible. Eventually, back up to Kyle, may he get a little bit of time at the three?
I don't know. This just happened.
You said on your radio show, Rick, that right now you've got to win all seven home games.
No, I didn't. I said that's a goal of ours.
A goal, yeah.
Yep.
How did you come up with those?
Well, I think you have to win. You look at 10, you want to win 10 games in the conference. And that's a scenario to win 10 games.
Will he just miss this game? Would he more?
You're asking me questions that he has a high ankle sprain. I'll give you Fred Hina's number. You can call him. What are you doing?
Tweeting.
No. Don't you know that's rude when somebody's talking to you? Have you ever been taught that?
The ankle sprain was the last practice.
It was the first play of practice, almost a warm-up drill.
You really seem to have kept a positive attitude through all this. How have you been able to do it? Is it taking your hits?
You know, what choices do you have in life? I mean, you're paid to try and win. So, you know, if these kids have given great execution, I'm real proud of them, but they have fought through a lot of difficult times. We haven't been able to, for a good 5 to 6 weeks, one of the reasons why we have not executed as well, we haven't been able to practice. And, you know, when you get guys missing 25, 27 days of practice and, you know, your practices are incomplete, you're just trying to keep it together until you get healthy. And it may not come out. So you just got to just focus in on winning and not be concerned with what you can't control. Let's be concerned with what we can control.
The style that DePaul plays, will that, you know, I mean, obviously character is a big part of how you guys play, but with them liking to play the up-tempo, will that at least maybe that will land in your favor this game?
Nothing's going to land in our favor with Kyle Keurig out, if that's what you mean. Is that what you're talking
about? Well,
you mean
they're not going to try and slow the ball down, so playing up-tempo, it seems like.
Yeah, we don't have many substitutes, so we've got to play smart. And, you know, they've got a very deep bench. They'll press the whole game. They will definitely play up-tempo, but they've got a very deep bench. And, you know, with Van Treese out, Mike Mara out, Wayne Blackshear out, Kyle Keurig out, you know, we don't have a deep bench. So we've got to be very careful that we want to play up-tempo, but we also want to make sure that we don't let a deep bench prevail. We tried that, and we got one possession into it yesterday. We were going to try playing Kyle at the four and try to get a little more offense in there, a little more quickness in there, and sort of revolve around the middle clock of Gorky, and we were very successful at that last year. That was the key to our success last year, but we got one possession into it.
You said Wayne needs to lose 10 pounds before he...
He just needs to get in shape. I wouldn't put a weight. He gained 10 from being off a little bit, but he doesn't have the clearance to play until 2 weeks. He started practice, and he has about another, a Villanova game is when he'll be officially cleared to play.
You talked about the improvement of the bottom of the conference. What has DePaul improved in?
Well, they've got a very deep bench, and they press very well. They're a good up-tempo team. They're very good off the bounce. And, you know, they can cause a lot of problems if you don't handle that pressure.
You talked last night a little bit about Peyton and Gordy staying out of foul trouble.
One of the things, and this is... What you have to realize is what causes foul trouble. What causes foul trouble is when you put yourself in situations where you get a blow, if you blow by me and you force Gorky to have to constantly help because I'm getting beat by you, you're putting him in a difficult situation. Now, I got very upset in the last few games because the first play foul of Gorky, somebody pulled his arm down and pulled him down on the ground, and they called a double foul. So that's one. The second foul, he just chopped the guy, and he's two. So now you got to take him out of the game. The other night, his second foul was a phantom call. You couldn't see any of it. So that's why I had a little frustration at the officials at that point. So there is pretty much every game, there's by both teams, not just us, there's three or four phantom calls that the officials make because they just don't see the play and they make it up. That's part of every game both ways. So you've got to limit a situation where somebody can get in foul trouble by containing the ball and keeping it in front of you so you don't force rotations out of weakness. So, you know, in the last game, I would say, honestly, in every one of Peyton's fouls, not one of them was a good foul. You know, he ran into a guy full speed in the open court, and then he threw a guy out of bounds, and, you know, they just weren't good fouls. And he has to stay in the game for us to be successful. He's our best basketball player, so he has to stay in the game and come out just to get a rest before a, you know, timeout situation.
With Kyle out, how much more is the onus on him to play like your role's best basketball?
Well, he actually plays really well in practice, and he missed a long time, and he's coming back right now. He looks really good in practice. I don't think the Providence College game is indicative of how he's playing. So, you know, we expect him to have a big game against DePaul.
What have you seen kind of out of Gordy in his second year, when he came here, his progress over?
He's getting better. He's improving. You know, he's a big factor for us. Those two guys are, you know, it's the point and the center. They're big factors for us. And they can't play 18, 19 minutes, and we're not going to come away with a victory if they play that long. They've got to play, you know, 28 to 35 minutes in these games because we don't have backups. Now, Bullitt is probably healthy again, and he's probably able to contribute now and give us some minutes in case we need it.
For someone like Kevin Ware who comes in December, how do you learn the offense? Is it just simply by osmosis, just picking it up?
Pretty much so. It's not something that's easy to do. So he's, and then Wayne will be the same way. You know, you have a training period you go through to get you ready to step on the court, and then you repeat things over. He doesn't have repetition. Repetition's the key to success. And that's one of the reasons why I said earlier, we lack execution. We haven't had a whole lot of repetition.
And then with Blackshear, I don't know the rules, I guess, with redshirt. Did that ever cross your mind, depending on how long it takes for him to come back, or are we past that point?
Well, could I redshirt him, you mean?
Is it still possible to redshirt
him? Oh, it's possible to redshirt him. I don't know what that would do for our team, but it is possible.
You touched on it a little bit last night. How important can the fans be in these last seven home games?
It's really important. We obviously, from the first play of the game, you know, look, the fact that people are dejected about losing is a good thing because you want people that care and are passionate about the game. So we put it out there on the table that we need them right now. We're a fragile basketball team in terms of we've been injured all year, and we opened up 12-0, and as I said, we were delighted with that because we've had very, very little practice, and we were still winning. And now we took a major shot with Kyle being out. Well, we've got to win. We've got to win, and DePaul's, or anybody, as we saw with Providence, is capable of beating us. So, you know, losing is not an option. We've got to win, and we need our fans to win. If we're intending on beating seven teams at home, it's got to be done with a collective spirit, with everybody in mind. I told our team this. It's got to be more enthusiasm than we've ever played with, more of an effort than we've ever played with, more of a desire to do all the little things. We got to get on the floor first. We got to do everything humanly possible to win.
You were talking a little bit last night about, and a little bit now, the bottom of the Big East at the top and how it's kind of confusing. How does the Big East maybe stand up to the other conferences this year in terms of college basketball?
I don't know that. I can't tell you that. I just know the Big East is very strong at the bottom. I don't think there is a bottom anymore. I mean, we're sitting at the bottom with Pittsburgh probably and Providence, but I don't think there is a bottom. It can change abruptly. You know, it's almost like, because I watch a lot of political things, you know, you can you see guys coming out of primary states as the leaders, and suddenly they're ready to depart and they're out of the race. And that's sort of like the Big East. You know, right now, Syracuse is in a class by themselves. They're the number one ranked team in the country. But I think everybody is going through some ups and downs, and I think we have a chance to get stronger as we get healthier, as we start to practice, as we start to execute. We'll get better. We have something going for us that very few teams in college basketball have. We have a tremendous will to win, and we also have 13 unbelievable young men with great character. And they're not going to get down about the Providence loss. They feel bad. They feel bad as the coaching staff and the fans and everybody else. But they'll bring it. They'll bring it for the DePaul game.
What improvements has Kevin Ware been able to make just in the time he's been able to get?
You know, it's. I think he gets more comfortable as he just uses athleticism without thinking. In this game, we're probably going to have to change his position, which is not a good situation for him. You know, because we're going to have to probably play him a little bit the two and the three, and he hasn't practiced at the two and the three. But we have no choice now. We didn't have a backup to Kyle. That's why he was playing 40 minutes a game. So now we've got to probably play him a little two and three today to see how he does.
In some ways, may that free him up? I mean, does being a point guard, does that keep him thinking so much that maybe playing all
Well, we've tried to take the thought process out of what he does when he enters the game. You know, we try to run a limited amount of options offensively. We try to take that out of the game because we understand he's only been here a few weeks. But it's very tough to now, you're learning one position, and one day before a game, you got to totally pick up new position. It's not easy to do. So I don't know how much it'll free him up. Anybody else? I am going to say one comment, and because, you know, Kenny told me something you wrote, okay? I don't get upset at people I like, okay? But don't write erroneous things because you hear things. If you want to ask me a question, I'll give you an honest answer. And I'll say this, in 1987, and the other night we honored a team that I couldn't honor because of the way we were playing. 1987, at 6:30 in the morning to 7:30 in the morning, we would get up before breakfast and we would dummy up every little play for 1 hour before breakfast at Providence. And then in between class time, we would do an hour of shooting, ball fake moves, dribbling, low post moves, go over it, over it, over it, over it, and try to perfect it. Because I was very concerned that we lost our three best players and we didn't have a double-figure score return at Providence, and since the inception of the Big East, they were in dead last place. So we wanted to try and do something about it, and we just kept going over and over and over. And I developed a reputation at that time for putting in a great deal of hard work. And then we practiced for 3 hours. And then we came back at night, and Billy Donovan and Delray Brooks would play Pop Lewis and myself. Loser buys milkshakes, best out of seven games. We would play from right after study hall at 9:30 to 10:30 every night, 2-on-2. This was when I was young and I could play. We'd play 2-on-2. So when you think of it, Billy was putting in an hour in the morning along with those guys, an hour individual instruction, 3 hour practice, and then they would beg me to continue playing, but I was getting tired after the hour was up 2-on-2. Then we go down and we talk basketball right below in the cafeteria. And we did that the whole season. At the end of the season, we never got tired. We were blowing people out. We came into Freedom Hall and blew out an Alabama team with four first-round draft picks. And we shot 68% for the game. Then we blew out Georgetown, who was a number one seed. We blew out a number one and number two seed with basketball that was incredible, Billy not even playing well. And we came on. And Kenny told me the nature of your article. Unfortunately, there's a 20-hour rule today. And so your comment only hurt, your article only hurts recruiting that come in because you build an image that's not there. We worked in 1987 like I'd love to work today. I would love to do that today. Unfortunately, this is the least amount of time I've ever put into practice in my life because of injuries, and we couldn't even practice 50% of the time. So when people make these statements, it not only hurts the image of recruiting, because you can only practice so much. We don't go any harder than Marquette. We don't go any harder than Villanova. We don't go harder than anybody. If you went to watch Marquette's practice, you'd see hard work at its best. If you go up the street to Indiana, you'd see hard work at its best. In 1987, we worked, and we loved it, and we laughed and had fun. And when all my guys came back the night before they were honored, that's all they talked about was practice and the two-on-two games and practice. And man, it was, and all they would do to their wives, and the wives said, boy, you guys embellish it. I said, they're really not embellishing it. They're pretty much telling the truth. But what unbelievable pride they talked about the amount of work they put in. And they went from dead last place in the inception of the Big East to blowing out a number one and number two seed and going to a Final Four. So when I hear this nonsense that you wrote from Kenny about working too hard, I'll end it with this way because he told me what Preston said. Preston sat at a table with me in my office. He was a unrecruited athlete because they said he had a bad attitude. Every high school coach told me not to take him. The only one we had to beat out was Weston, wasn't sure whether they would offer him a scholarship. Preston Knowles worked his ass off here and went from a malcontent, a guy that everybody said had a bad attitude, to a great basketball player playing in the NBDL right now, having an unbelievable career. And whatever percentage he had that he thought he could play at was 10 times better than the player he came in here. And if I ever have to take away and apologize for my work ethic, that will be today. So you are not changing me with your nonsense that you wrote in that article. The only thing you do is hurt recruiting. But more importantly, you're not telling the truth. Because we haven't been able to practice this year. We haven't been able to get after it this year. And I miss getting after it. And I miss those days in 1987. And the day that they put in that 20-hour rule took a piece of my heart out. But that's the rules. We go by it. But unfortunately, because of all the injuries and all the things, we haven't been able to practice this year because we just have to get ready for the game. It's almost like I call it a Steve Spurrier practice. Everybody, you know, wear a yellow shirt, don't touch the quarterback. And yesterday we had an injury and it was right coming out of warm-ups. It's unlucky. It's unfortunate. But we're never going to give up our work ethic. We're never going to give up a desire to win. We're never going to make excuses. I've got a great group of guys. I love coaching them. They're terrific. And I look forward to the day where we can practice. And I'll let you know when that day is so you can write that we have hard practices. I'll let you know as soon as you ask me about something like that. Because we have recruits coming in, and you've now given 1,500 other schools ammunition that's not true because, like it or not. So in 1987, I deserved it. I deserved that image of all that time. And I enjoyed every freaking second of it. So thank you. Appreciate it.